News. I'm Dave McGrath. 8:10. The Morning Show with Greg Berg is next.
Support for WGTD's Morning Show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenosians who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional Morning Show co-host. And we welcome you to the Tuesday Morning Show on WGTD-HD. I'm Gregory Berg, and with me for his monthly visit to the program is Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. And I have to say, although we have some announcements to get to first, but it's so appropriate that our underwriter today for the morning show is Frank Falduto, who maybe you don't even realize this, but years and years ago was a very, very important figure with the Gateway Foundation, which is the topic of today's program.
Absolutely. The Falduto family has always been supportive of Gateway Technical College, and we're just so proud that they continue their support through legacies and making sure that what we provide through WGTD is really of service to our community. And so we appreciate their support and all the support of all of our sponsors and donors for not only the radio station, but for the work that we do with the foundation.
That's terrific. So I'm just happy to have that little tie-in. So in a moment, we'll let you introduce our two very special guests who have been with us before but join us today to talk about the Gateway Foundation. I know that this is a wildly busy time for a whole lot of people here at Gateway, particularly teachers, as the semester winds down. What does the end of the year feel like?
Yeah, you know, you probably saw me running across the hall because trying to pack everything in the last few days here before the end of the semester. But it's really hard for me to believe that this is the closing of the 2015 academic year. It's amazing how fast the time goes. And, you know, we'll be on campus through next Wednesday. And then actually the spring semester starts January 11th. So 2016 is already in the books for us as far as activities and events being planned. But just another terrific year for all of us here, I think, in our community. And Gateway support for all the development of new programs and support services we provide for students really makes me reflect a little bit on just how fortunate I am personally and how fortunate we are here at the college to be able to provide those services. Yesterday, we had two groups of students on campus, one from Tremper High School over in Kenosha, another one from Park High School, visiting the Horizon Center. And I just saw the pictures of the smiling faces of the young people thinking about their future and what 2016 might mean for them as they graduate from high school in May and then make that big decision on where to go to college, and to know that Gateway's here to help provide that pathway of opportunity. And that's just one of the many activities that have taken place just in the last few weeks. I know our student organizations and our different program have been very involved in providing great services to our community, a clothing drive, a coat drive, a food drive, you know, the charity auction, raising funds for our community. And it's really enlightening to really understand and appreciate the impact that our students have every day. And as we go through this last week of kind of final exams, and I have a chance, I just visited with a student this morning about his program and the excitement level of some students completing. We had over 240 students graduate this December, and they'll go out into the workforce and get great jobs and support their families and continue to be strong leaders in our community. So, you know, the role that Gateway plays continues to evolve as we evolve as a community. But for 104 years now, 2016 will be our 105th year of service to our community, one of the oldest two-year publicly funded schools in America. It just continues to remind me of the tens of thousands of people that have been able to leverage the services of Gateway. So it's great to be here.
It's made a big difference, as in a lot of different people's lives. I know that not too long ago, you were up the road at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. I suspect that happens quite often, but most recently there for a special summit, which you tell me is the Adult Completion Summit.
Yes, you know, Chancellor Ford's been a real strong advocate for the partnership with Gateway, and we call it Forward Together. It's an initiative in which we really try to align our programs and services. A few years ago, we announced our dual enrollment initiative, where you can enroll at Gateway and Parkside at the same time and take courses from either institution. Most recently, several articulation agreements, including a brand new one in criminal justice and law enforcement, so that we can leverage students' interests and abilities to go from a two-year program to a four-year program, or in that particular case, completing your four-year program, coming back to Gateway to take our Law Enforcement Academy, which is the tactical training to become an officer. So whether you take a two-year degree or a four-year degree, you still have to take the tactical training in the academy. And so all of those great partnerships have led to a greater conversation. And 2 weeks ago, Chancellor Ford and led the initiative in partnership with Gateway in Carthage to take a look at how we could do a better job of helping adults that have some college but had not completed. Maybe they took three or four courses, or maybe they went all the way through until the last semester and just had a great job offer and never completed their degree. And we held a summit over at UW-Parkside on what strategies we could use in our community to, first of all, create an awareness that college completion is important, and then find pathways for adults that want to come back and take a course or two and really leverage their past experience into a degree, because degree completion matters, and it's one of those credentials that lasts a lifetime, as you know, and it's important for people to know that we want to be here to help them continue that. A couple of the new areas of development that we're really working hard on is our recognition for credit for prior learning. So individuals that may have worked in industry or worked in business for a few years and have gained skills that are comparable to the competencies you'd learn in a classroom, we can do testing and have credit for prior learning credits assigned to that. Individuals that maybe have gone through service training programs as a veteran in the military could get credit for those programs. We talk a lot about our high school transfer, where students are taking college courses in high school and can receive credit for it, but there's also a lot of learning that happens when you're an adult, and we want to assign credit for that. So we're really working hard on the credit for prior learning initiatives.
I'm so glad you explained that, because I think a lot of people would look at that term and misunderstand it. They might think that means some other time when you went to college or took a couple courses. It isn't really that at all. It's about an entirely different kind of learning, which is just as important, and which traditionally does not get recognized when it comes to sort of measuring somebody's readiness to sort of move on. And this is a way to try to acknowledge that and quantify it and let it count.
Absolutely. You know, we all learn in different ways. And, of course, we learn a lot better when we apply and we do things. And so through our career paths, we've picked up a lot of new skills and have really been able to refine. And in some cases, a lot of self-taught experiences. Mm. You know, we learn new software packages because we must learn them. Our boss said we had to learn them, right?
Right, right.
And so how can you kind of parallel that back to into some college credit and academic success? And, you know, Gateway's been very good at that over the years. Our adult learning population has been our mainstay. The average age at Gateway is still 30 years old, so a lot of returning adults coming to campus. And if we can elevate and accelerate their college degree by giving some credit for prior learning or possibly even testing out of courses so that they can shorten their time to completion, I think it's a win-win for everyone.
Hmm. Tell us about the trip you just made to Madison for the second annual Future Wisconsin Economic Summit. What was that was about? Why,
yeah,
it's about the economy,
it
obviously.
It is, yeah, and it's always an exciting event. There's a little close to 400 people at the Monona Terrace in Madison this year. It's the second year for the summit, primarily sponsored by the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, but of course the technical college system, the university system, the private college system, a lot of organizations were involved, but WMC really helps drive that agenda. And last year at the end of the summit, each of the 16 technical colleges were asked to host a regional event to kind of gather some data and input from local businesses. So Gateway hosted one, and we had a great turnout for that over at the SC Johnson IMET Center, collected a lot of data, and that was then channeled back to the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And so they collected all of that material through a variety of survey networks, and this summit then focused on the results. So what are the opinions of businesses, the opinions of government officials, and the opinions of community leaders on where the status of the state is and where we see it going in the future, and trying to quantify and identify some key areas of industry sectors that are potential growth areas for us, like, of course, advanced manufacturing always comes to the top, but we know IT is a very strong area for us as well, and healthcare. And try to parlay that into recruitment of new businesses, sort of sustaining our current job market, but looking how do we grow a job market, compare that to the demographics of the state and aging population, how to recruit more young people into these talent pipelines for these great jobs that are available, and then really create that messaging or what some people might say the brand of Wisconsin. Mm. Is it really about the Green Bay Packers and Cheeseheads, or is it about driving an economy around freshwater technology, advanced manufacturing, biosciences, which are the heartbeat of our mainstay here? And, you know, agriculture has been such a strong base for us for many, many decades, and it continues to be a strong base, but there are diverse occupations now, and a lot of folks outside of Wisconsin and even inside of Wisconsin often don't recognize that. Mm. We try real hard at Gateway to develop a brand, and we've got a guest here today, Stephanie Skilbel, who will talk a little bit about that, helping to create that messaging around Gateway, because some folks in our community really don't understand all of the different options that are available at Gateway. So, you know, 65 different degree programs, 100 certificate programs, it's hard for anyone to know everything about it, but keeping that visibility and the Wisconsin Economic Summit helped to drive that conversation. We're going to continue this dialogue. There'll be a third summit in December, and I'm serving on the WMC's Talent Development Subcommittee. So our group is taking a look at how do we challenge the educational systems to continue to cooperate like we do with Parkside and to inform and expose young people to career paths and helping everyone understand that education is not only has been a mainstay in Wisconsin but is absolutely critical to our future growth as a state, especially around the business climate.
Hmm. It's an exciting time to be here, isn't it?
It certainly is, yes.
Well, you've just introduced one of our guests, Stephanie Skilbel, Vice President of Community and Government Relations, and why don't you welcome our other guest as well?
I would be happy to do that, yes. We have a great show for everyone this morning. It's really going to concentrate on the contributions of our community through our foundation and our community service efforts. And so Stephanie Skilbel is with us, our Vice President for Community and Government Relations, and she's been traveling about as well, just came back from a national conference on government and has been actively involved in helping us with many of our community-based organizations. We'll hear a little bit about that. And Jennifer Charpentier, our Executive Director of the Gateway Technical College Foundation, which is essential to our success here at the college because, as we've talked about before on the program, the philanthropic contributions of our community have benefits in many ways, including the radio station, but probably most importantly on the end of the scholarships, helping students make that financial bridge to college completion and success. So I welcome both of you to the program.
So thank glad you. You're both here. Stephanie, you're one of the busiest people I know, and it always seems like you're off running off to something or other that's incredibly important. Just give us a sense of the scope of your responsibilities here at Gateway, and particularly those responsibilities that sometimes take you away from here.
Right, absolutely. So a lot of my responsibility really is going external. So working with the external, our external customers to share the story of Gateway Technical College. So from marketing to the foundation to working with community organization to our government officials, as Brian mentioned, I just spent last week working with government relations individuals across the country. But it's also sustainability. So it really is a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of information that I get to share with our community members, but it really is working with those external people so that they're aware of the many opportunities that we are able to have here at the college.
I'm glad you mentioned sustainability because, of course, with the big global climate summit that has been taking place in Paris, it's something that a lot of people are talking about. And it seems like this is a concept that Gateway has taken seriously for a long time and is also trying to explore new ways to embrace.
Absolutely. Sustainability is very important to the college, and we've signed on to a number of climate commitments. And our first one was the College President's Climate Commitment. And that was a very important climate commitment for us to sign on to. And now we've signed on to some additional ones, ones to really take a look at our carbon neutrality and how do we work with our greenhouse gas inventories and stuff of that sort. But when it comes to the college, and from a training perspective, we serve a really huge role when it comes to that, whether it's our HVAC programs, whether it's our sustainable energy programs, urban farming, or our freshwater resources program. The technical college plays a critical role when it comes to the environment and ensuring that we're moving in that environmentally friendly way. The Paris actually put a spotlight on it, but our graduates are going to be those ones that really make that impact when it comes to the environment and the future.
And implementing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, when you think about Gateway in perspective of size and scope of organizations in our community, our facilities alone are close to 1 million square feet of footprint. So that means there's a lot of energy, a lot of lights, a lot of utilities that are used, and we need to be conscious of that and make sure that we're doing the best job we can around energy efficiencies and managing our buildings the most appropriate way. It's a huge investment by our community, and it's a great responsibility to our environment. And then the impact of the number of students, being a commuter college, 25,000 plus students drive in and drive out every day. That's a lot of gas and a lot of parking needs that are in place. And if we can find strategies to engage students in better appreciating the impact that they make on a day-to-day basis, whether it's their academic training programs or whether it's just the way that their lives are structured around taking college courses, we can become a model for our community. And you see it around campus of those that have driven by. We have solar panels and micro wind turbines and rain gardens and all types of different demonstrations that students are involved in, better understanding and appreciate renewable energy sources. So I'm very proud of the work that Stephanie does in leading our climate commitment initiatives on campus and our energy management systems. And most importantly, I think just proud of the leadership that she's been able to help empower Gateway to provide for our community, as you heard, but also for the nation. Last year, Stephanie's team won a Genome Award, which is one of the highest awards presented by the American Association of Community Colleges for Sustainability, and continues to be an advocate even in the most recent negotiations in Paris. So we'll continue to find a place for Gateway to make of great value and service in this area.
And, of course, it's not just something that happens here on Earth Day, although
right.
Gateway celebrates right. Earth Day in a big way, but it's about the other 364 days of the year, isn't it?
Yes, it absolutely is. And as you said, it's something we do regularly. Our students are aware of it, our staff, our facilities show it. It's very important to the college sustainability.
And we're fortunate. I know we all like to drink fresh water and breathe fresh air. That's a good thing. We live in a great part of the country that has that available to us. Many regions of this country do not, and it's a real challenge for other parts. And so we can capitalize that, not from an economic development standpoint. We're hearing a little bit more about some of the water negotiations that are taking place in the Waukesha community. Mm-hmm. And so every day we turn the faucet on and hopefully don't take it for granted, but it seems like it's a pretty natural thing for us. And if we're not careful and we're not aware of the impacts that we make, we too could be in a tough situation down
Absolutely.
The road.
Absolutely. We're also happy to have with us in the studios Jennifer Charpentier, and she is the executive director of the Gateway Foundation. And Jennifer, it's probably important for people to maybe gain a little better understanding of the purpose of the Gateway Foundation and how on a day-to-day basis the Gateway Foundation really makes a difference in the lives of not only the school, but especially in the lives of the students who come here.
Sure. So one of the critical pieces that the foundation plays is that it helps bridge gaps for our students and for the college through private philanthropic dollars. So our mission is to support the cultural and educational activities of the college, which, of course, is a pretty broad mission while focusing on the college itself. And in terms of how the foundation is organized, we have 17 board members who represent the community. And the foundation itself, it's our bylaws specify that we need to have equal representation across all three counties. And so it's been a great way for the foundation to be working with the community on behalf of the college to be building those relationships. Our board members are great. They do a wonderful job of advocating for our students in the college in the community. And so it's a typical 501c3 board in that they are volunteers and that they meet on an ongoing basis to really make sure that we are fulfilling our mission and being good stewards of what we've been entrusted with on behalf of our students.
And they're a lot of fun to be around. The foundation board are just great people. I mean, their job is to, help advocate and promote. And, they really have a great sense of responsibility, but also a great sense of we have to create awareness, whether it's through our alumni association or, helping to drive special events. I mean, they're really the organization that helps elevate our presence in the community as far as letting people have access to Gateway in kind of a fun way.
Jennifer, I think most people really understand money and how most students need money and how the Gateway Foundation really has a huge impact through the foundation's scholarships. Beyond the money that it disperses, what are some other ways in which the lives of students at Gateway are very directly impacted by the foundation?
So I think one of the things to think about is that it's a combination of those relationships and the investment that the community makes in the college through those private philanthropic dollars. So some of those impacts, our scholarships that help students stay in school. And from some of our scholarship recipients will tell us, this is the first time that they were ever recognized for their efforts. And so in terms of really noticing the impact that their career path and their commitment to their own education and for their family and themselves, it's a wonderful way of recognizing our students. We also, in addition to the scholarships, do also provide student emergency funds. And actually, mentioning Mr. Falduto, the student emergency funds were started under him while he was executive director of the foundation. And so really we're a part of making sure that students stay at the college. And then also, not only come and stay at the college, but there's also the ways that we can help enhance programs and help make the educational experience here at the college even better for our students.
There's so many different ways that people can become involved in helping students. So we have a new program on campus called the Heads Up Mentoring Program, which faculty and staff can volunteer their time and mentor students. And so I'm fortunate this year. I have a great student that I'm working with, and he received support from the College Foundation. And to hear that personal story and to really appreciate and understand sort of all of the different challenges that students have to try to balance their time and their finances, and they want to do well in school. And so to take a little bit of the burden away by saying, this will help cover some cost of books, or this might help cover transportation costs, and it just really helps me better understand and appreciate, what it takes to be a student today and all of the things that a foundation or other organizations like mentoring can bring to the support of our students.
Stephanie, maybe we can bring you in to talk about the importance of the Gateway Foundation and also exactly what the relationship is between Gateway itself and the Gateway Foundation. They're obviously very closely linked, and yet in some respects, distinct entities also.
Right, absolutely. And Jennifer actually touched on a number of those in her comments. And I think it's so important for the success of the college and the foundation to have that success for our students. And our students need the assistance from the foundation. And so one of the ways, of course, that the college works directly and very closely with the foundation is with that student population and ensuring that the students have what they need in order to succeed, in order to continue here at the college. And so that's the work that's done with the scholarships and with the student emergency grants. The foundation works very closely with financial aid, with admissions, to ensure that our students have those things that are that they need. And so I think that that is a very critical piece to the success for our students and for retention of our students here at the college. And the other piece that Jennifer mentioned is regards to our program and our facilities. We have great facilities here at the college, and they have certainly changed over the last 7 years. They look different, they feel different, and it's been great to be a part of that change. A lot of those program changes that we've made to our labs and to our classrooms have been made with the help of the foundation through donations, through our community partners, through our business partners, just ensuring that our labs are up to date and they have what the students need to succeed once they graduate from Gateway Technical College. So I think having that close relationship with the foundation really is critical to our program success, to our facilities and the way that they look and they feel. And it's also very critical to our students, knowing that there's that option to fill that gap that they may have.
Yeah, you raise a really good point. Oftentimes we think about the foundation as it's an organization that we give money to, but there are so many other ways to give and provide support, you know, time, talent. We're looking for expertise in the classroom, and you can channel that back through the foundation. Serving course on the board would be another way. But offering internships or some level of work experience is another way to connect students back to the community. And then, of course, what you mentioned is the contributions, whether it's in-kind contribution or equipment contributions. Those all run back through our foundation so that organizations that are donating have the opportunity to create some sort of tax incentive on that. But we receive a lot of equipment donations from local employers that help to keep our labs current so that students are being trained on the latest technologies. And the foundation plays a critical role in making that link to our program's success and our business partners' contributions.
Jennifer, I understand that the Gateway Foundation has a lot to do with one of the really happiest stories here at Gateway, namely the Center for of Sustainable Living, which has been so interesting in the Sim City House. Tell us what in a sense credit the Gateway Foundation can have, or what the pride that you can take in having played a part of that.
Well, you know, the foundation board is really pleased to be able to partner with the college and to provide. There are times when, in terms of an opportunity, that the foundation is better positioned to take advantage of the opportunity. So in the case of the Center for Sustainable Living and the Sim City, in both instances, they were adjacent properties that the house was looking at coming up for sale potentially, or there was going to be a change in the homeowner. And so the foundation was able to purchase the property in the house for the benefit of the college and our students. And so, you know, we're really grateful for the opportunity to really be enhancing our students' experiences and thinking about how can we best leverage the resources of the foundation for the college.
You know, I have so many great favorite programs and buildings, but the Center for Sustainable Living and the Sim City House, and we should just describe that a little bit more. Stephanie's team really provides leadership for the Center for Sustainable Living, and literally thousands of young people go through that, and Kathy and Joe Madrigano really helped establish an endowment through our foundation to allow that to happen. So maybe you want to describe sort of the day-to-day activities that take place in that unique facility.
Absolutely. So as I said, the Center for Sustainable Living is an adjacent property to the college, just really west of the Madrigano Center. And it really has three legs to it, and the first being that it's a learning lab for our students and our staff here at the college. Secondly, it's a community outreach opportunity for us. We host workshops. We bring community members in really to share sustainability items here at the college. And then thirdly, it's an opportunity for the K-12 districts to come here for field trips, to be part of our programming here at the Center for Sustainable Living. So we offer a number of programs, whether around energy, the watershed, recycling. We have a brand new nature trail that we just opened this past summer that has been extremely busy this year. And so we've had about 2,000 individuals that have participated through the center this past year. So people are enjoying the opportunity to, number one, get out of into a different environment. So whether they're picking apples from the orchard trees that we have up there, or whether they're learning about recycling habits and what can and can't be recycled, or whether they're learning about the geothermal system that we had put into the home, they really are learning about sustainability, and we're happy to bring them to campus and to be part of such a unique opportunity that we have through the center.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You don't even know it's there, really, until you get up there. You drive up behind the Modrogano Center, and it's a beautiful park setting.
Yeah, just nestled right there.
Yeah, it's very, and it's a great place for retreats or business meetings. So it's open to the community. If anyone's interested, all they have to do is give us a call. We'll be happy to reserve it for them. And then another unique facility is our Sim City, which on Thursday of this week, we're going to hold an informational session in partnership with UW Parkside to help develop our law enforcement training initiative. But Sim City was also purchased by our foundation for the use of our law enforcement protective service training program. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can try to describe that one for me, Stephanie, if you can.
As we look to expand the law enforcement training program and the opportunities that our students need in those areas, as Brian said, it was purchased through the foundation, the Sim City, or the home next to us directly south of the property here. And so the purpose of that home will be to create interactive experiences for those individuals that are part of that law enforcement academy. So, you know, there'll be a house setting, there'll be a bank setting perhaps, there'll be a convenience store setting. Wherever the experiences, wherever they need to learn from those experiences will be able to create, to have that hands-on activity. So that'll be all created on that property just south. And we're just starting construction on those projects too. So we're very excited to open those.
Yeah, those are great opportunities that, you know, unlikely that the college would have been able to capitalize on without the work of the foundation. So I appreciate the leadership of Jennifer and the board to kind of have that vision with us. It's a cooperative vision on how we can expand our training programs in a very unique and strategic way. To give our students real-world applications that are outside of the traditional classroom setting.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Stephanie, you're describing all of these programs and facilities that most directly benefit Gateway students, but it's also an example of the way in which so much of what happens here is also intended to benefit the community.
Right, absolutely. As everybody knows, we serve Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth counties, and so it's important for the college to be part of those communities. And whether it's being part of all of the chambers in the Tri-County area, which we are, so that we are familiar with our communities and engaged in the needs of those communities. We serve on many boards within those communities, whether it's Boys and Girls Clubs or United Ways. We're very active to make sure that we know what the needs are within those communities. But then there's some other stuff, too, that we participate in, such as 4th of July parades, such as the holiday parades, which most recently have been happening in the area. And we're fortunate enough to have Rudy the Red Hawk, our mascot that goes out to many community events right now, whether it's a race that's being held or whether it's a community event or a high school sporting event, to be able to be out in those communities and to be part of the excitement and the energy that those communities have. It's very important for the college. We've also been part of and have been asked to be part of many strategic planning conversations as well. And whether those conversations are through education or whether they're through the local chambers or through workforce development, Gateway plays an important role by sitting at the table. And so it's very important for us to be there and part of that community discussion as we look for the growth here in southeastern Wisconsin.
Oh, so I heard a rumor when I was at the holiday program for elementary school kids over on campus that Santa was actually going to ask Rudy to lead a sleigh this year instead of Rudolph. How does it? I think it's just fantastic that we're able to be in the community that way, whether it's holiday events or, you know, service learning types of events. But it's an important aspect of the work we do at the college.
For those of you who might have missed our introductions at the start of the program, we have with us in the studios, of course, today for his monthly visit to the program, Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, also one of Gateway's vice presidents, Stephanie Skilba, vice president for community and government relations here at Gateway. And also with us is Jennifer Charpentier, who is executive director of the Gateway Foundation. Jennifer, when you walk into this building, it's really hard to miss this impressive wall of names. And, of course, those are names of really important donors to the college. And I suspect just about all of those names are very, very familiar to you and dear to your heart. Where do those people come from, and what does it what does somebody need to do to be sort of part of that really impressive legacy?
So first of all, I want to say thank you to all of our donors. And it, whether or not your name has made it on the wall or not, we are so grateful for your engagement with the college through the foundation and how your support helps our students. So in terms of how do you become a part of the foundation's work, of course, we are grateful for a gift of any size. And we have a wide variety of ways that you can support the foundation and our students, you know, whether it is mission support, and so that the foundation can simply respond to the needs of the college as they arise, or it's specifically if you're interested in a named scholarship, or our scholarships are scholarships that the donor is naming. Start at $500, and if you are looking at making more of a gift in perpetuity to make sure that scholarship is always there, the amount is $10,000. And of course, if you want, I would be delighted to speak with anyone who wants to talk with me more about what are the opportunities around scholarships. The other pieces that we have in terms of some of the ways that people can be involved, not only the financial support, volunteering with the foundation. We have a wide variety of ways that we use, can tap into people's skills and passions. Of course, there's the foundation board, foundation board committees. We also read, we have volunteer readers of our scholarships. We are so grateful to our more than 40 folks who take very seriously the reading of scholarship applications. We also, we hadn't mentioned it yet, maybe except for in the periphery, but the foundation also works with our alumni, and our alumni initiatives are a part of the foundation's work here at the college. So if you're a Gateway alum, please reach out to us and let us know about your Gateway experience. You can even go online and click to indicate that you are a member, you've been a Gateway alum, and that you'd like to be engaged with the alumni initiatives. Brian mentioned earlier how critical it is that we receive in-kind donations of equipment from local companies, and then we also have, we're about to have, I think it's our 22nd annual golf scramble, the foundation scramble, and that will be in May. And if people are interested in sponsorship opportunities, of course, we would welcome sponsorship of that event. That also helps make the programs possible for the foundation and our students.
And you mentioned in passing that that gifts of any amount are welcome, and it's probably worth underscoring that a very significant part of what you take in fact, are relatively modest gifts. If that's all that someone can give, that's still really important to the ultimate success of the foundation.
It is, and it's really, you know, I don't know that everyone necessarily recognizes what it's a very great privilege to be able to receive the gifts that people give in whatever amount that is. And so, you know, our goal is that people feel engaged and can see the impact of their investment, whatever that level has been.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, you know, oftentimes people feel like, you know, $10,000 is a lot of money. I don't know if I can write a check out for $10,000. You can build your endowment in any way that you would like. It could be $1,000 a year for 10 years. It can be two gifts of $5,000. It can be $5 a month out of a paycheck. There's many ways that you can find ways to be a part of Gateway Technical College's support for students in our community. And I think it's really important that that we emphasize the work that Jennifer does to help people find their appropriate fit within the college. It's great that we have unbelievable generous donors like the Johnsons from SC Johnson or Snap-on. Those are great corporate partners, but the vast majority of the work are the $25 contributions to help build a capacity for an individual to get books, and that's really important to Gateway's mission.
Where I teach at Carthage, I know we see really escalating need among our students for financial aid, and I strongly suspect that that Gateway students are in very much the same situation, that as you widen your net in terms of trying to be more and more inclusive and bring this experience to people, that you're talking about more and more students needing more and more financial aid.
Yes, yes, indeed. And one of the things I think is, you know, thinking about how where people are in their life's journeys and the resources that they need to come take that next step here at the college, whether it's the scholarships or student emergency funds. I hadn't mentioned yet, we do have a program for individuals who are looking at taking that step of completing their GED, and they've been working with, you know, the adult basic ed teachers here at the college, that they are, if that barrier, that $135 barrier to them completing their GED is too much for them, we have, and they're planning to come here to Gateway, we have a way of helping them get over that threshold to come here to the college. And so if folks are interested in learning, either making that possible for folks or taking advantage of it, please let me know. We'd be delighted to connect you to the next steps to making that happen.
Yeah, I believe it's close to 70% of our students, 67% of our students are on some type of financial support system. So, you know, it is critical to the lifeline of Gateway and the way that we are able to help connect opportunities for individuals, whether they're adults or first-year college students coming in. That financial support is critical. Federal financial aid programs, Pell programs, scholarship programs, local contributions all make a difference. Mm-hmm.
Stephanie, we have the holidays, of course, with us right now. I suspect that there are some special things going on involving Gateway and the community around the holidays. You want to tell us about a couple?
Absolutely. There's been a lot of activity on our campuses because we do like to consider, you know, we're part of the Gateway family. What are we doing here at the college? And so Brian mentioned a few earlier, you know, the clothing drives that are run by our student organizations, or, you know, the collection of toiletries for individuals, or the toys. You know, we've had staff that have collected toys as well. And so whether you're a student here engaged in a community, in a student organization, or the staff, the community is really, really important to us here. And we've had the development of a food bank here on site so that students are able to take advantage of that if there's a need for them in that area. We've had fun activities such as movies with Santas. So that's been a great opportunity for students to bring their families here on campus, for their families to be part of Gateway and their educational experience here. We've had blood drives on our campuses. So really, we are looking at how do we help our students become engaged, and how do we help our staff become engaged. That's all the fun stuff, but we've also been working with our students right now on the completion of their fall semester. You know, our students are in the process of ending their fall semester, and how do we help them through this finals week? As we watch students walk past here today, all getting ready to take their finals, how do we work with those students to ensure that they have the resources that they need? How do we make sure that they're registering for the spring semester? You know, how, so that they're continuing their education here at the college. So not only are we doing that fun stuff, but we're also making sure from an academic perspective that our students are being taken care of as they end their semester and as they continue here through the college.
Yeah, it's, I mean, every day I come in, there's a new activity for us to get involved in, and I think it's just remarkable. And I would be remiss if I didn't say, and there's a lot of food that we've had in the last couple of weeks, a lot of holiday treats that people are bringing in. So thank you to everyone that's been doing that for us.
Jennifer, the holidays are maybe a good time for us to really talk to people and say, maybe spell out any immediate needs that the Gateway Foundation has and some ways in which people can make a difference if they feel so moved.
Sure. So, of course, there's a couple reasons people are thinking about giving this time of year. You know, one is the season upon us to be thinking about being grateful ourselves and how can we help others, and so that impetus to give. Some folks are also thinking about we're coming to the end of the calendar year and do they want to make a tax-deductible gift, and they can certainly make one to the Gateway Foundation. In terms of our most immediate needs, one piece is that our student emergency funds have actually become exhausted. We've already granted to 30 students more than $12,000 to help them stay here at Gateway, and our funds are pretty depleted right now. So if people want an immediate, how can you close an immediate gap? That is certainly and that seems like something of interest to you. It fits well with your values and what's important to you. We certainly encourage a gift to the student emergency funds at the foundation. Of course, if you're interested in starting a scholarship, we know that there are a number of families that will start scholarships in honor of a family member, in honor of the holiday season, or they are just starting to think about, you know, reflecting on their year and how can they help. So those are a couple of ways. And, of course, if there are other ways people are interested, they can certainly reach out to us at the foundation. We are here at the college, and our street mailing address is the same as the college's. So that's Gateway Foundation at 3520 30th Avenue here in Kenosha, and the zip code's 53144. If you're putting something in the mail, you can also give online, and that is at gtc.edu, and you can just scroll down to the bottom of the page and find the foundation right there to make your gift.
Excellent. Yeah, and it's very easy. Jennifer is a very kind and welcoming person to talk with about this, and it's always the challenge is always just making the ask. And so, you know, I too appreciate all the gifts that our community gives to us in many different ways. But, you know, this time of the year, if there's something unique or special that you wanted to do for someone, naming a scholarship in their name is absolutely remarkable, a treasure and a value to our community that lives on forever and ever. And if you have a student or you know of someone that is in school, think about what kind of gifts might mean something to them beyond this current season. And it might be, you know, a scholarship or a little help with books and tuition. Certainly makes a difference in not only the holiday season, but in their lives for the rest of their educational career.
Excellent. Stephanie, Jennifer is also a very modest person, so it's probably not easy for her to crow and blow the trumpets about how successful the Gateway Foundation has been over the last several years. So we should maybe give that to you, just a final parting word on just the amazing difference that the Gateway Foundation has made here, and particularly the way in which it has grown and flourished over the last several years.
It has been remarkable, the changes that we have seen in the foundation. And a lot of that has to do with the leadership, both at the college and within the foundation. So Brian and Jennifer, and that important partnership that they have working together to ensure that the needs of the college and the foundation are being met. It has a lot to do with our partnerships that we have created in our communities. And those partnerships might be with the educational communities. It could be with some nonprofit organizations, with our business communities. But it really is about the partnerships that have been formed in our community so that they understand the role that the college serves in our community and the important role that the college serves and how the foundation really impacts the college in that way. So the growth has been just phenomenal and remarkable, and we can't thank those individuals enough that have brought us to this level, and we look forward to that continued growth over the next few years because there's so much more that's happening here at the college that we're looking forward to.
Yeah, exciting. I think it is very exciting. You know, when we reflect a little bit on the impact of Gateway over the 104 years now, moving into 105 years, just tens of thousands of people have had the opportunity to leverage Gateway to better their lives. And the foundation gives us an opportunity as a community to give back and really set ourselves up for a stronger community down the road. So this generation of graduates and, you know, next years and the following years, and all of that happens as a result of the community continuing to make those great contributions and investments in our college. So we do thank everyone. And certainly I would be remiss if I didn't say happy holidays to everyone that's listening, to all of our friends and family internally here at Gateway for the great work that they do on behalf of our students.
Very well put. So thank you so much, Stephanie Skilba, Vice President of Community and College Relations here at Gateway. Always great to have you on the program.
Thank you.
It's been too long. Jennifer Charpentier, Executive Director of the Gateway Foundation. Wonderful to have you here as well. And thank you for all that you do. And, of course, President Brian Albrecht. Great to have you here once a month on the program, and we look forward to more of your visits in 2016.
Thank you, Greg.
Tomorrow on the morning show, we'll be talking about two wonderful musical events coming up this weekend. We'll be talking about the Bell Ensemble's performance, which is called Christmas in the Court of the Danish King, all Danish Christmas music. That's a concert coming up on Friday night. And this coming Sunday is yet another Sing-Along Messiah here in Kenosha. And Jennifer DeBoer will be here, the coordinator of the Fine Arts at First series, to talk about that. And I want to be sure to mention Friday's morning show, which is something very out of the ordinary. We look forward to welcoming to the program Gary Stamm, a local actor who's been on the program quite a number of times because of different performances he's given at the Racine Theater Guild and with the 91.1 Players. This time, however, the reason Gary's joining us is because Thursday night, if you watch the Food Network's program called Chopped, you will see Gary Stamm. He is a contestant on the show Chopped, and it airs Thursday night. Until then, he is strictly gagged from saying anything about how it went or the final results of that program. So you have to wait and watch Thursday night. But then Friday morning, bright and early, Gary is coming to our studios to give us the inside story of that experience of being on the Food Network program Chopped. So that's on Friday's morning show. We hope that you'll make a special point of listening. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock, and you can find the program archived on our website, wgtd.org. Click on Talk. Support for WGTD's morning show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenosians who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional morning show co-host. It's a minute before 9 o'clock.